from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
The Sacramento Kings stayed at number 13 in the NBA draft lottery. The Hawks, they won it. They moved to number 1. Let's put a pin in the Hawks because they don't matter. Is it this feels this to me, based on the analysis of the Hawks moving up to number 1, and Zach Lowe wrote about this, because if you're unfamiliar with how the draft lottery works, the actual lottery happens in a room where you no laptops, no cell phones. And the lottery happens, and then they put it on TV later.
They do a
televised version.
They're sequestered to a room without their devices, and they're there to make sure the authenticity of the draft.
Right.
Like, Zach Lowe is usually in the room. I think Ben Golliver was in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Hyken that covers
Utah.
The Portland Trailblazers.
Portland, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's representation from almost every city that's in the mm-hmm. lottery. I don't think Sacramento had somebody, but if they don't, it's usually like a team representative.
So here's how, and again, this is Zach Lowe. You can read about this in ESPN. It's fascinating. He describes the whole system. It's great. But he said that last year, because everybody has 4-digit numbers,
mm-hmm.
and they pull the ping pong balls, and their first 3 numbers come up, and then there was this like palpable anticipation because that number is going to go to whatever team is going to get Victor Wembanyama.
Mm-hmm.
And so the anticipation was like palpable. Like, he said people were like on edge. Even before the process, there was like nervous chatter. I mean, you could just tell. And then this year it happened. And the reaction was, man, can you imagine if that happened last year? Nobody gave a rip that the Hawks had the 9th best odds to get the number 1 pick and got it.
Yeah, that's
3%
crazy.
Chance. Just nobody cared. So this to me feels like, based on all that, and like you said, at some point during the draft process, some guy's going to jump out of the gym and hit 99 out of 100 threes in a workout, and everybody's going to be like, holy crap, number 1 pick.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, that'll happen. But based on what we know right now, and based on that reaction to the lottery, this is probably the preferable outcome for the Kings. They just stay at 13. They don't have to worry about the draft slot. They don't have to worry about trying to move the pick for pennies. They can hang out here. And if a trade materializes, great. If not, you see how the board falls and you draft a player who maybe can help you this year. Maybe he's a developmental piece. Who knows? It just, this to me makes things a lot more straightforward for Sacramento.
Oh, I totally agree. And I also think if you look at the top of the draft, would it go Atlanta, Washington, like that's good. Even the Spurs were able to get an extra pick.
Yes.
But this is the year that you want the Spurs to get an extra pick. You're like, ha ha ha, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you got an extra pick.
So this is brutal. So Atlanta, Washington, Houston are the top 3. So it was Toronto. If they had been in the top 6, they would have kept their pick. But instead, they ended up falling to 8. So their pick now conveys to San Antonio.
Oh, yeah.
Which sucks for San Antonio, because Toronto is probably not going to be very good next year.
Mm.
And I believe it would have been unprotected had it conveyed next year.
Oof.
or it might have been top three protected, whatever it was. But this is a bad draft per all the analysis. And now San Antonio has the pick from the Jakob Poeltl trade convey this year instead of next year or beyond. That's tough.
It is tough.
San Antonio.
It's tough. And I also think that like once the pick goes down, like first of all, Atlanta.
Oh, Hawks were 10. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're celebrating, right? Like, which they should because they're a team that's caught in the middle, right? They're really a team that's not good, but also not horrible. And that's the worst place to be in the NBA. I mean, the Kings sat there for like the entirety of the 80s and 90s where they're drafting number seven every single time.
That was even in the early to mid 2010s, it was a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
There were just enough there where you're like, yeah, okay, you can kind of talk yourself into it. And then,
yeah. It's tough when you're drafting what Lionel Simmons was the seventh pick. Walt Williams was the seventh pick. Bobby Hurley was the seventh pick.
I mean, that's just the.
Jason Williams.
Out of how many drafts do you go? This is a 4-player draft.
Yeah.
5-player draft. So when you're at 7, it's like.
Yeah. I think Brian Grant was number 8. Yeah. They had the 1 year, well, the Lionel Simmons year where they had like, they had 7, they had 14, they had 19, they had 22. They had 4 first round picks.
God. And not a single one in a prime spot.
No, no. Oh, well, man. I'm the only one that, like, Lionel Simmons at least had a career, but it was short-lived.
Yeah. Man, that's just, that is brutal for the Hawks.
It's good, though, because I sent you the little thing from Bobby Marks. It kind of showed what I was talking about last week, that I don't think people were totally cluing in on. The Hawks, because they moved from 10 to 1, that pick is valued so high that all of a sudden, they're out, they got to pay. Like, they're... Not only that, but now they're in luxury tax range, and they're going to have to figure out a way to clear some cap space, and that's not the best position to be in. But again, they're at $180.5 million in dedicated salary for next year. The tax threshold is $171.3, and we're talking about a bad team, right? So,
but a bad team that looks at Trae Young as a foundational piece, and they have DeJounte Murray, and they have Clint Capella, and they've got Bogdan Bogdanovic, and they have Sadiq Bey, who's an unrestricted free agent?
Yeah, I'd have to look that up. That's possible that Sadiq Bey is unrestricted.
But either way, you look at their accumulation of players, and you go, this should be a better team than it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. And at this point, like this is a great opportunity to blow it up. You have the number one pick in a draft. Whoever, regardless of whether you think that player is a future All-NBA guy or whatever, you go use that pick, you blow it up, you try and accumulate assets, and you start it at ground zero.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to. But Trae Young is a good enough player that I could see their front office talking themselves into, well, if we just surround him with the right guys, and that is just not the move, man.
It's such a mistake. It is.
But so many teams do it.
They do.
Like, yeah, we've got this guy. Just like, do you?
Do you? Do you, though? Yeah, it's not a great position to be in. Yeah, qualifying offer for Sadiq Bey is $6.5 million. That puts them in a weird spot with Sadiq Bey because, like, I don't know what you do there because you're going to, in order to keep him and to go over the, and to, like, sign the number one overall pick,
yeah,
you're going to go deep into the luxury tax for a team that's not good.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Poor Hawks.
I think the Hawks are going to, like, they know that they're not good. Like, I've talked to some people within the walls of theirs. They know they're not good. And even at the deadline, they were very prepared to, like, have a yard sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, like, the sign was out.
But that's the thing is nobody wants what they have, at least not for what they were asking for.
Yeah, even like, you know, here in Sacramento, we love Bogdan Bogdanovic, but he's owed 17.3, 16, and 16.
Pass.
Over the next 3 years. That's
pass.
That's a lot of cash. So,
and he's older now too, right? Isn't he like 31?
I think he's older than that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He didn't age like Buddy Hield, but.
Oh no, nobody does that.
Yeah. Let me see, how old is Bogey? Wrong Bogdanovic.
Nope, yeah, that's probably Bojan. He's like 35.
He is 35. The other Bogey is 31. He'll be 32 in August.
Yeah, so he'll be 32 to start, and he's owed that kind of money?
He's got 3 more years at like...
Like, he's a fine player, but at probably less than that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he had a great season. 16.9 points, 3.4 assists, 3.1 assists, 3.4 rebounds.
Yeah.
Shot 37%. But yeah, I think that it's time for them to have... I think they've gone beyond yard sales. This is like a rummage sale.
Dude, they have to.
Yeah, there's like a free bin at this one.
You're doing... you're just doing your team a disservice by trying to drag this out another year.
Yeah.
It just... So maybe you're not going to get exactly what you were hoping for. But they did the same thing with John Collins. They sat there and John Collins, 2 firsts. It's going to take 2 firsts to get... And they held on to him. They got nowhere. And they eventually had to give him away.
For a bag of peanuts.
And I...
Yeah.
I'm... This is why I'd be terrible in a front office.
Well,
because I can sit here on the radio and I can go, the very obvious move is to blow everything up.
This is the move.
Then you got to sell that to a fan base. You have to sell tickets.
Yeah, but they don't sell tickets there anyways. Yeah, if I'm them, I'm looking at Clint Capella. I'm looking at DeAndre Hunter. I'm looking at Bogdanovich. Like all of these guys are going to be available. And then I'm also looking at Trae Young. If you're going to reset this thing, like
that's the piece.
Yeah.
That's the piece.
Yeah, Trae Young is a guy that you probably can get a lot of value for,
mm-hmm.
and you can move forward and reset your roster. And you still have DeJounte, and you still have players around, you know, that might be able to be reasonable and help you out. You've got Okongwu under contract for another 4 years. You know, Hunter's under contract for 3 years. These are young guys that you can kind of build around. You know, they do have Jalen Johnson, who's cheap for a long time.
Hey, do you know what DeJounte Murray's contract looks like?
It's not great.
He's 25 and a half next year.
Yep.
25 and a half million. He's 28 years old. Then 27 and a half, 29 and a half. And then at age 31 in the 27-28 season, he has a $31.5 million player option.
You know what, though? I will say this about DeJounte Murray. I mean, first of all, he made an all-star team. But this is kind of what we talked about before, about players that maybe aren't max money guys that you can get for less than max money. And it's not usual that a player will take less, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what that kind of feels like. This isn't his... I don't think this is his second contract. He's 27 years old. So this should be his third contract. Mm-hmm. And so you do have him at less than max money, which for a guy who, again, made an all-star team, that's really not horrific. I know it's not what you really want to pay.
He still played defense like he played when he made an all-star team, great.
Yeah, but you're looking at a 27-year-old who averaged 22.5 with 6.4 assists and 5.3 rebounds and 1.4 steals. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't... Like, we had this discussion before. Would you trade for DeJounte? And that would be a tough one. Although his contract, again, if you're looking at players of that ilk, his contract mm-hmm. isn't horrific.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. It brought me to the question of, can you work with that team specifically
mm-hmm.
to, number one, save them money, and number two, get the player that you want out of somewhere else?
Yeah, you have an excellent trade idea here. So let's lay this out.
Well, I mean, again, this is just like, hey, let's throw stuff against a wall. This isn't something I'm hearing.
Yeah, this isn't. Yeah. So just to make this very straight, this is a hypothetical. Hey, these numbers work.
Yeah.
What does this look like? Let's discuss it.
Yeah, exactly. So my idea was, if the Kings were to go try to get Brandon Ingram, they're going to have a problem that they can't offer a player that will help, that will truly help, I think, New Orleans right now. They can potentially offer a player, right, that could be in their rotation, but not that would really, really push them forward. So if I was the Kings, I would try to get Atlanta involved, because I think Trae Young could help the Pelicans. So my offer would be Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte, a 2025 first round pick from the Pelicans. The Kings would concede their rights to the 2024 pick, which is the 13th pick in the draft, but also a 2026 and a 2028 goes to Atlanta. So Atlanta would pick up 4 first round picks: Barnes, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte. That's what the Hawks would get. So 4 firsts. The Kings would get Brandon Ingram, and the Pelicans would get Trae Young. So
they get 2026 from SAC and 2028.
and like concede the 2024, which would be basically just pulling the restrictions off of the current pick that they owe Atlanta.
Okay. I've got this written down on the whiteboard so we can flash it up for people.
Okay.
At some point. I don't have the stream up.
Yeah.
Am I good here?
Yeah.
Does this look right?
Yep, that makes sense.
Okay. So ostensibly here's the deal. Who says no kind of thing, we'll put that on hold for a second. So the Kings are ostensibly trading for Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
They are trading Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte, and three firsts for Brandon Ingram.
Yeah. Now, here's the other caveat I would add. Like, Brandon Ingram's in the final year of a $36 million deal.
Okay, so let's put a pin in that.
Okay.
Because that's what I want to talk about next.
Okay.
But this is the kind of move that, again, let's take Brandon Ingram out of this. Let's just put, insert player of that caliber here.
Yes.
This is the kind of move that I think the Kings need to make this offseason. This is the kind of swing I think they need to go take. We talk about, hey, could the 13th pick contribute? Hey, how do you feel about this role player like Bones Highland? And how do you feel about this guy? Okay, those are all fractional things. I'm of the mind that the Kings this year need to make some kind of major move where they are offloading a bunch of their assets in one, not in a bunch of smaller deals to add to the margins of the roster. No, I want a big deal that's going to bring in a player of this ilk. And this right here, what you have put together in your hypothetical world, this is the kind of move I think they need to be a part of.
Yeah, and like, I don't know that this type of move is like necessarily out there. I'm not saying that this is going to happen, mm-hmm. but I would even like caution people, like, there is a way that like trades like this could happen. Because what you're trying to do is fill the needs of multiple teams at one time.
Right. Yeah.
So I think we can all say that we know the Pelicans need a point guard. They need more 3-point shooting. They need a star to put next to Trae Young. Mm-hmm. We can also look at Atlanta. I mean, next to Zion Williamson. I'm sorry. We can look at Atlanta and say Atlanta needs, if they just got the number one overall pick, they really need to go all in on that. You know, again, you can keep Jalen Johnson, you can keep DeAndre Hunter, they're young enough, but the realistic thing that they need to do is reset everything.
Mm-hmm.
So could you do something to go get three or four first round picks for Trae Young?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to get that from one team, but what you can do is you can get it from multiple teams. For the Kings, this is really not like giving up three first round picks for Brandon Ingram. It's giving up like 2.25. Because you already owe Atlanta this pick, the 2025. So I think it would do two things. Number one, it would move up the timeline for Atlanta, where they're getting a 24, a 26, and a 28, as opposed to a 25, a 27, and a 29.
Sure.
Plus, it also guarantees them a lottery pick, not what you might have next offseason from the Kings, which could be much better for the Kings than a lottery pick, than a top 12 pick. So I just think that it would help all three teams. And I also, if I'm not mistaken, in a weird way, you could probably figure out this trade with DeJounte Murray being the player that goes to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I mean, goes to the Pelicans instead of Trey. It would just mean like taking out one of the players from the Kings side.
Okay.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I love the idea of Trae Young with the Pelicans, where you're taking some of that onus off of CJ McCollum to be a shot creator at this stage of his career, because that just clearly wasn't enough. And it gives you an additional playmaker where when Zion Williamson is out, it's not all on CJ McCollum or like, yeah, hey, we need Trey Murphy to have a huge game and Herb Jones to be a player. He's not. Like, no, man, you have a really... I'm hesitant on Trae Young as like the guy for a team, but here he's not. It would be Zion Williamson, and they believe in Trey Murphy's ascension as a go-to scorer for them. And I really like Trae Young as a playmaker. I like him as a playmaker even more than I like him as a scorer.
I also think it would give you the ability to play Herb Jones alongside Trae Young for large stretches.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could mask a lot of what he does wrong
as
a player.
That's what Atlanta tried to do with DeJounte Murray, and it didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
He regressed a little bit on that end.
Yeah, definitely.
So I want to talk about the Brandon Ingram aspect of this specifically, because you started to bring it up last segment. And this is my hang up with Brandon Ingram and the question that I kind of have. I don't believe, and I know there are people smarter than me who think the opposite of this, so I'm open to being wrong here, but I just don't think I buy Brandon Ingram as that dude. And by that dude, I mean a player who, you mentioned it, he's on the final year of his contract. So you're going to acquire this guy in a trade, and then you're going to max him out next summer. And that is my hang up, because I'm not totally sure I buy Brandon Ingram as a max player, particularly when you have Domas and you have De'Aaron Fox and you know that you're going to have to pay Keegan down the line, or at least you're anticipating that you'll have to pay Keegan down the line. And this is the kind of deal where are they going into the tax? Are they going to hang out on the first apron? Are they going to move to the second apron? That's the hang up for me with this, is the financial aspect of it, because I don't think Brandon Ingram is going to be a player who ultimately is worth that type of deal.
No, that's a fair critique of a trade for a guy like Brandon Ingram. I think in a bubble, like, he fits everything that the Kings are trying to do, right?
Yes.
So, number one, he's 26. He'll be 27 in September.
I feel like he's been in the league for a decade.
No. Yeah, so he's basically De'Aaron Fox's age, right?
Fits
so
the timeline.
He fits the timeline completely. He's 6'8". He can play the 3 and the 4. Mm-hmm. He gives you the length, the athleticism. He gives you the secondary playmaking, which the Kings need desperately.
Mm-hmm.
The guy averages 5.7 assists per game, 5.8 last year and 5.6 the year before that. So he is a player that for his career averages 4.3. So just envision a guy who averages 5.5 rebounds and 5.5 assists per game.
Yeah.
So he can provide that as well. So the scoring aspect is something that I think the Kings could really use, because he's a multi-level scorer. He can shoot the ball well from 36% career three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
If you give him more opportunities off the ball, he's probably going to like bump that up a little bit, especially playing with Domas.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just like him as that. Now, the problem is, you know, he played 64 games this year. He played 45 last year, 55 the year before that, 60, 61, 62, 52, 59. The only time he's played 70 games in his career, played 79 as a rookie. So there is a concern there. And there is also a concern about paying a guy who doesn't play enough to warrant $200 million over 5 years or four years, because that's what he's going to ask for. But I would, like, you got a couple of things going for you. Number one, you're going to have an idea of how much he's going to look for.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the Kings already have to call Jeff Schwartz, who is also Malik Monk's agent and also the agent for Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a really good idea of, like, without even asking, of what he wants.
Sure.
Like, not saying these conversations happen, but I'm saying that the Kings will know, right? And if it's, like, strictly a max money deal, I like him better at 26 as a max money player for this next contract than I do, say, Pascal Siakam at 30.
No doubt.
Wanting a max money, or 29, whatever he is. So, I mean, there's that. I would be concerned about the injuries just like you are. But we're looking at a guy who, as a 22-year-old, was an all-star in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not that far removed from that. And sure, he needs to stay healthy. He needs to stay on the court more.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think there's also a culture of staying on the court in Sacramento.
Sure.
Where in New Orleans, it's
not the case.
It's A-OK for a star to not play for 40 or 60 or 82 games in a season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of not the culture in Sacramento. So I'm intrigued. He's a guy that, again, he checks so many of the boxes. Mm-hmm. The age is right, the height, the length, the athleticism, the scoring ability, the ability to pass the ball, all of those things he fits into. And whether he would fit seamlessly into your system, I'm not 100% sure.
Sure.
But the fact is that he would fit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that the Kings, I believe, would at least like look at.
Yeah, so there's two. The other little hangup I have, and this is less of a hangup because of what I'm about to say, but my other hangup is, what does his arrival mean for Keegan Murray? Because the goal with Keegan, right, is to become that secondary playmaker, and we've seen in the playing game against Golden State where it was like, dude, hey, need you right now, be that guy, and he was incredible. But then he goes out against New Orleans, and he's not there. And you just don't see that consistency from him on a night-to-night basis. And that's kind of the next step. Well, I think including Brandon Ingram now, who's somebody who's going to take a lot of shots, who's going to create, he's going to have the ball in his hands, that's supposed to be Keegan's role. So now you're just kind of, to me, that's capping Keegan at the player that we saw this year, where it's like, okay, yeah, good player, good contributor, but not somebody you're going to rely on night in and night out.
No, I think that that's always a concern, but I would also like sort of warn that, like, we don't know what Keegan's going to become.
No doubt.
And the fact is that you're hoping that the next step, like Keegan as a playmaker for himself, is really the next step for him.
Yeah, right.
The real step that Keegan has to take in order for the Kings to be good is Keegan as a playmaker for himself and others.
Mm-hmm.
And that could take 2 or 3 years for him to get to.
Sure.
We're talking about him being able to play a two-man game with Domantas Sabonis, being able to hit the pocket pass and feed Sabonis at the rim. So when you don't have a Malik Monk or you don't have a De'Aaron Fox on the floor, that your primary scorer can also create for others.
Yeah.
It's something that we saw Chris Middleton become.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Middleton, realistically, Chris Middleton and Brandon Ingram's stats are very similar, right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as like where they've got to in their careers. And there is a possibility Keegan gets there, but if you're the Kings, can you really wait? You didn't make the playoffs this year. Can you wait to see if Keegan not only becomes just a playmaker for himself, but the playmaker for others? Because if not, you still need that. This team needs another playmaker no matter what.
I'm with you.
And that's a problem. We saw when Malik Monk stepped off the court and was hurt, the Kings didn't have that secondary playmaker.
Yes.
Even Kevin Huerter provided that to a certain degree.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you lost it. It's like, okay, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
So I definitely think, like, look, you can still bring him along at Keegan. You can bring him along at your own pace. He can still become a really, really good player. But the switchability of Ingram and Murray at the three and the four, like, who cares who's playing what position?
Yeah.
That would be really tough to contend with.
Yeah.
And it's something, the length and athleticism the Kings haven't had.
We talked about it all year.
All the time.
And that's where and you said this to me. Okay, hang on. A couple things I need to do. I promised I'd get to Mitch. So we're going to get to Mitch. I'm going to put a pin in the Brandon Ingram thing.
Okay.
Because I'm going to contradict myself a little bit.
Okay.
And kind of get to the backbone of this entire discussion. But first, we need to get to Mitch. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. Mitch, thanks for waiting. What's going on, dude?
Hey, no problem. How you doing? How's it going, James?
Doing great. What's going on? What do you got?
You get a foul ball baseball game the other night, so I have to ask.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No.
That's a lot to give. I like Brandy. I don't know if it's a power forward, but that's a lot to give up. I'd rather than give up first-round picks from the year 2075, 76. I don't know if they'll go for it. And one thing about Atlanta, I hope we can get a good pick, a good player at 13. I think we should have Carvin, though. But Atlanta was screwed up because Atlanta has drafted so many good players, and Cam Reddish and Collins and the center from USC. And they're just spinning wheels. I'd love to have Murray. I'd love to have Murray more than Trey. And thanks for taking my call, Kyle.
Thanks, Mitch. Yeah, I think long-term, I'd rather have DeJounte Murray over Trae Young, too.
Yeah, if I'm them?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. And I'm certainly, if I were the Kings, I wouldn't, like, propose a deal for either one of those guys. Like, they don't fit with what the Kings are doing.
No, I don't think so either. Brandon Ingram, here, I'll fit this in here. And this is just kind of the backbone of this entire thing.
Yeah.
I can sit here and nitpick and go, well, Brandon Ingram is that. But you said, like, who's the perfect player then? Like, who are you going and getting? And if I'm going to sit here in this chair and go, they need to make some kind of big move, this might be the move. We know the Pelicans want to move on from Brandon Ingram. We know they're ready to deal him now. There's a trade that you laid out here. If you're watching on YouTube, I'll throw it up here, where the Kings are basically trading for Brandon Ingram for Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte, and 3 firsts. And that's it. Like, I can sit here and go, yeah, but is Brandon Ingram worth the max? It's like, well, you got to try. Because if they don't make this kind of deal, then we're going to sit here at the start of the year and go, didn't do enough.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you got to take a swing. And would I love the Brandon Ingram idea? No, it's not my most favorite thing ever. But when it comes to availability, plausibility, living in reality, this is probably the best potential chess move the Kings could make this offseason. At some point, you got to push your chips in.
That's right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.